Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known six-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
All right. This is Lawrence J. King in the house, host of Book Talk Radio. And today it is my honor and privilege to introduce to you an amazing woman. Her name is Michelle Fakanos. We did a previous interview with her, and now we've invited her back a second time. And we will continue to interview this amazing lady. And so without further ado, and before we get her on the air, I'm going to touch briefly about this amazing woman, her accomplishments, and the things that she's got going on. So Michelle is a wife and a mother and a grandmother living in Fort Myers, Florida. In 1982, she received her associate's degree in science in business data processing, computer programming. In 1993, she received her associate's in science degree and in nursing from the St. Petersburg Junior College, graduating with honors. In 1999, Michelle received her Bachelor of Science degree in nursing from Florida International University, graduating with high honors. In 2009, she received her real estate sales associate license. Michelle has also worked her way to the nursing areas, including medical, surgical, pediatrics, oncology, recruitment, and nursing informatics. Michelle has been previously published in two poetry books and a nursing journal. She is the award-winning author of the 411 on life skills and the 411 on step-parenting, and she is highly respected in her areas of expertise. Her years of experience as a registered nurse, mother, and life skills expert have given her the knowledge and wisdom to write her books. And speaking of books, she's got 10 books out there published. I mean, this lady's got it going on, and today we're going to be talking with Michelle about the 411 on surviving teenhood, with a lot of its essential tips for parents, teenage temptations, teachable moments, and so much more. At any rate, so without being said, I'm going to try to get Michelle on the line, and away we go. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here.
Michelle, are you? All right. Awesome.
Hello.
And we have another. Hello, we have another caller on the phone. Do you recognize a 559-352-0998 number?
No,
Michelle?
I don't.
Okay,
no, I don't.
So I'll keep that caller in suspense for the moment. Okay, Michelle, it's
okay.
Exciting to have you back on the show. Today we're going to be talking about your 411 on surviving teenhood, breaking it down to a science and, you know, how to benefit others. And there's so many topics in there. So with that being said, let's get on with the show and tell us just a little bit about this book, 411 on Surviving Teenhood.
Okay. Well, the reason that I wrote this book was, you know, you turn the news on or you pick up a newspaper, and most likely you're going to hear stories about teenagers that include, like, bullying or car accidents, burglaries, sexting, and all kinds of different acts being committed by teenagers. And so I really feel it's feel strongly that we need to grab hold of our children, especially our teenagers, and get back to our real family values. You know, get back to that, teaching those kids right from wrong and teaching them about violence and how it doesn't solve situations. And I just really feel that this book is a book not only for parents, but I also encourage the teenagers to read it as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that said, I'm going to try to take a caller that's on the line hang out, Michelle. Chances are we have a couple callers calling in this evening, and so I'm going to see if I can get this person on the line. Hello, caller. Are you there? State your name, please.
Yeah, who's that?
Hello, caller? Yes.
Hello?
State your name. Hello, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
State your name, please. And yes, I can hear you loud and clear. State your name, please, and talk to Michelle just a bit. Ask her questions, whatever you like to do.
Well, my name is Steven with a V, and my question is, great job, keep the good work, and the question is where do you get your wisdom, or you wake up on the right side of the bed always, or like, where do you get your motivation, that's what I'm asking. My question was.
Good job, Stephen. Good job, Stephen.
Okay.
That's an amazing question. Michelle, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Stephen, and thank you for calling in and asking a question. I certainly appreciate it. I get a lot of my inspirations from my kids when they were younger, and from the kids that they hung out with as well. My husband is a step parent, as well as I was raised with parents and then step parents, and so I've got a lot of diverse experience with writing and with my stories. As far as, being lucky or waking up, happy, I like to wake up happy. I like to wake up motivated. I think the key to a happy life is being positive. And that's not to say that, there's going to be ups and downs. That's expected. But we all need to live in the moment and be positive in that moment and expect positive things to come back into us in return.
That's good to hear. It's 2016, myself, I'm still young, and I can say you got one life to live on, what I know of.
And you want to make the most of it.
Correct, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You want to put your mark on this planet so everybody can say you were here, and we want to do that in a positive way. So any children, whether you have brothers or sisters, do you have a family?
Not at the moment. I'm working on it.
I'm planning
on it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have brothers or sisters?
I'm the oldest. I have probably four brothers, what I know
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be there most as possible. And I try to spend quality time with them. Most I can.
That's good, because they're looking up to you as a role model. From small children all the way to teenage children, they are actually looking to you to be a role model for them. So you want to model, good family values and teach them how to be positive and always, compliment them even on the small things, so that they will feel that they're worth something to you.
All right. Appreciate that. And,
where are you calling from, Stephen? This is Lawrence Jay from Book Talk Radio. Where are you calling from? Are you from New York? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from where I'm at right now is at my house. Yeah. I'm at my house.
In Oklahoma or where?
Oh, that's in Indiana.
Indiana,
awesome. Ah. Indiana, hello, Indiana. Hello, Indiana.
Midwest.
All right, Stephen, do you have anything else for Michelle that you would want to pick her brain and her wisdom about?
Well, I didn't think I was going to make a phone call or be on here. I didn't have nothing, jotted down or so far. This is kind of a moment, and since it is, right now, just have a blessed day and always, and I will talk to you soon. And
well, thank you. And I certainly appreciate that. And I wish the same for you too. And just, be the best person that you can be every single day. And, if you do have your ups and downs, just remember the good times will outweigh the bad times, and just stay positive.
Right, and that's what I'm doing. My biggest biggest thing is having a faithful ring on, and I think that's my next step is is to settle down, is what I'm saying. I'm 20. Actually, my birthday is tomorrow. I'll be 24. And since I'm young, I kind of getting older and trying to grow up, and instead of be a teenager, be an adult and handle the scenarios. And I think that's the next step, is that faithful ring. And I think that would help me for the cause of my time. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But,
and Stephen, since you are a young adult, make sure to check out my book called Ace Your Life, Life Management Skills Made Easy, because it's got all kind of great information for someone your age and to help you move forward on your journey.
Yeah, that's my motivation. That gets me up, is that, you know, that ring and the meaning of it. And, yeah, that makes me, and that's kind of gets me motivated in how I do things. But I definitely check out that book. And what was it called again?
It's called Ace Your Life.
Ace Your Life.
Uh-huh, A-C-E, Ace Your Life. Oh, you're so welcome, and happy birthday a day early.
Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Stephen. With that said, buddy, have a good evening, and we'll get back to the live show. Stay on the line, listen, learn some things, you know, let it come over you. And so thank you, Stephen, for calling in. I'll talk to you then, brother.
All right. You too.
Michelle, you still with us?
I'm there. Yes, absolutely.
All right. We have another caller on the line, but I'm going to keep them in suspense because good things come to those who wait. However, let's get back into your book a little bit. We had an interview with you not too long ago. We're going to do 6 live interviews with you because you're such an amazing and exciting person. You know, you got it going on. You know what you're talking about. Your message is clear. You're out there to benefit people. You're trying to help others to their journey in life. And so let's just delve into this book just a little bit, Michelle. I'm going to take an example here from the glossary, from the index, whatever. I mean, you got all kinds of cool things here, parenting styles. You deal with suicide in here. You've got drug and alcohol and substance abuse, cell phones, sexual attraction and orientation, talk about sex, birth control, pregnancy, runaway teens, dating and dating abuse, shoplifting, peer groups. You know, you got all kinds of cool things, growth and development, sleep disorders, and on and on and on. So, Michelle, let's, for my personal interest, you know, when I was growing up, my sister, she came home pregnant and wanted me to explain to my parents what the bleep. And I was sitting there as a teenager myself going, what the bleep? Because I didn't know even how to approach that, but I finally just came out and shot from the hip and went with the throat and said it like it was, and it was a, you know, disaster for the whole family, basically. But it had a, you know, a happy ever after turnaround kind of thing. But let's get into that just a little bit deeper, if you will, and pick your brain. How does one go about explaining to one's parents, you know, I'm knocked up, I got pregnant? How do you do that?
Well, you know, honestly, it all starts with the type of relationship that you have with your parents. You know, as parents, we need to you know, be real open with our children and say, hey, you know, regardless of the situation, I want you to feel comfortable in coming to talk to me. You know, so many kids are afraid to say things to their parents. Teenage pregnancy, you know, the rates are starting to decline, but the sad part is teens are still getting pregnant. And there's a lot of different reasons why teens are getting pregnant, you know, things like lack of sex education or knowledge of the consequences. It's an effort to keep a relationship going. Or, you know, a lot of girls get pregnant because they don't have enough love at home and they don't feel wanted and they don't feel needed. So they want that love of that unconditional love from a newborn, you know. And so as parents, you know, when our kids, if they do become pregnant, just A, it's not the end of the world. It's really, truly not the end of the world. My daughter was a pregnant, unwed mother. And, you know, it happens. It happens to the best of families. So it's not you know, because of your social status, and it's not because of, you know, certain situations. It can happen to anybody. So I want you to know it's not the end of the world. But I want you to start talking to your kids and telling them, you know, regardless of anything, you can come to me and tell me anything. And don't threaten to throw them out of the house and disown them. And because, you know, that really just creates even more problems. You know, teenagers are teenagers, and they are going to experiment, and they are going to try things and do things. Teenagers fail to see the dangers, occasions of having a baby young in life. You know, and the responsibility is so overwhelming for adults and teens just because they're unaware of the challenges. So it's important as parents that we make them aware of these challenges. We open their eyes, and we encourage them to talk to us about everything. It's going to be uncomfortable at first, but it's definitely worth it in the long run. And in the book, I do have an example as far as an exercise that I would love for parents to do with their teens. And basically what it is, it's parents, you sit with your kids, and you can either go online or you can go to a retail department store, and you're going to write down the cost of taking care of a baby on one side, like diapers and formulas and bath and laundry and stuff for moms, like, you know, nursing bras and creams and stuff like that. And then on the other side, you're going to put the big things like furniture, the cribs, the crib mattress, clothing, car seats, you know, baby tubs, safety items, and stuff like that on the other side. And then you're going to get prices for all of that stuff. And you're going to total up column one, and which is, you know, to take care of them for a week, and column two, which is stuff they need up front. And then you're going to calculate minimum wage times 40 hours. And, of course, you got to take out about 20% for taxes, another 60% for your rent, your phone, your water, your electric, and your garbage. So then basically when they see all of these expenses in their own handwriting, they're going to really think, wow, I really got to, you know, kids shouldn't be having sex as teenagers, but at least they're going to think and say, hey, wait. Maybe I do need to kind of, you know, really protect myself, not to mention all the diseases you can get, but that's another story. You know, but maybe they'll think, with seeing all those totals and all that money and everything they have to bring in, they're going to change their minds and at least open their eyes to what they're getting into.
Right. I understand that. So in your opinion, expertise and otherwise, what would be practicing of safe sex these days? Are we talking condoms? Or what are we talking there?
Yes, definitely. Definitely condoms. There are all kinds of different types of, you know, creams and stuff that can prevent pregnancy, but they're not going to prevent those STDs. So the best way to protect yourself, of course, is abstinence. But unfortunately, kids don't see the need for that. So the biggest thing I can tell you is make sure that you visit your local health department, and even schools, to my knowledge, will give out condoms to make sure that kids are practicing safe sex.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And talk to your
parents. That's what this show is all about. Some, you know, some serious beneficial topics, some serious amazing guests, and yeah, that's the way it goes down on Book Talk Radio. And so with that being said, Michelle, I have another caller on the line. I don't want to keep this person waiting too long because it might just jump ship. So are you ready to take another caller, Michelle?
Sure.
Okay. With that being said, hello, caller. State your name and maybe where you're from, and then talk to Michelle just a bit about what you're trying to learn from her, ask from her, want from her, desire from her. And before we do that, we're talking about the 411 on surviving teenhood. Essential tips for parents, teenaging temptations, teachable moments, and we got a whole lot more information on this show about beneficial topics for your teenager as well as other people that are in your life and in your home. With that being said, hello, caller. State your name, please, and talk to Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. This is Susan Ortega, and I am from Longmont, Colorado. And I am curious to know, in your professional opinion, what methods work best when it comes to your teenager when they're having problems in school?
Okay, thank you for calling, Susan. I would tell you that depends on the situation. Is it two of the same parents in the household? Is it single mother? Is it, you know, step-parenting situation? Because each discipline type is different based on the family situation.
Single parent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and I can definitely talk to that because I was a single parent of two for 8 years. it's really important if you can, depending on how you get along with your ex-partner, if you could both agree on the same type of discipline at each home, because kids, man, they are smart, you know, and they will learn to pit parents against each other. But I can tell you, if you can't agree, then you do have to sit down with your kids and you have to talk about your family values, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and if you have to, write it down on a piece of paper and tape it to the refrigerator so it's constantly in their face. That way, when they do something that you know, is not honorable or just flat out wrong, you know, depending, you need to talk to them and determine what do you think your punishment should be. Because, you know,
a lot of times,
when you get kids involved in the punishments, believe it or not, you'd think they'd go, oh, well, maybe just a slap on the hand would be okay, you know. But when y'all sit down together
right.
at the table and say, you know, tell me what you think are fair punishments, and you make a list of them, okay? And,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
and
that's,
you can say, you know, depending on what the, you know, the problem is, it may be a little more severe. You know, I might, if they have a cell phone, I'd take your cell phone away for a week, okay? But the problem with that is a lot of kids do have cell phones at a very young age right now, and a lot of times it's because they're latchkey kids. They come home from the bus stop. They're home by themselves until a parent can get home. So they have to have that cell phone because many households don't have a phone anymore. They just rely on cell phones. Or you have the kid that, you know, rides the bus or anyways. But you can let them have their phone at school, but the minute they walk in, you hand it to them and say, sorry, you know, you're on punishment. You'll get it again tomorrow morning before you go back to school.
Okay, right, the
so
cell phone's always been an
yourself.
Issue.
You know,
okay.
but you really, truly want to sit with the kids and say, what do you view? Now, let's get real, though. You know, what do you view as a fair punishment? You know, you can take their cell phones away. I know my grandson, he's younger, he's 10 years old. But, I mean, when he gets into trouble, his handwriting is so bad that I love to make him write sentences, you know?
Okay.
Or I love to...
All right, well, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Or I was just going to say, when my kids were younger and they got in trouble, even as a teenager, they'd have to read a certain part of a book each night. You know, I want... And then tell me what they read. They couldn't just sit there and act like they were reading it. You know, I like to think of punishment not as like a corporal punishment, because you certainly sometimes want to do that. You know, but I want to think of punishments as a learning moment. So I think if you can create learning moments for the kids, you know, but you know, I really truly think sit down together with them, come up with different punishments. That way it's not a surprise when you say, well, you did this wrong, so let's do number four this time, because they helped you come up with it. So
yeah, this is
Lawrence
J. King in the house, the host of Book Talk Radio. Michelle, hold that thought for 1 second. That's majorly interesting and very beneficial. Susan Ortega, do you have any other questions, comments, or concerns that you would like to address to Michelle at this time?
Yes, I have another question. What should a... I'm sorry. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
What should a parent do with their kid if they are having drug or alcohol problems?
get them professional help immediately.
Okay.
Because drugs and alcohol, you know, they're real downers, and they tend to make children think the next step is suicide. But you know what kids don't realize? That suicide is permanent. They
yes,
think it's just a way out,
true.
A temporary way out, and it's not. If you suspect your kids of drinking or doing drugs or anything that could harm their bodies, then you need to seek help immediately. Don't think that you
okay,
can handle
thank
it
you.
Yourself. Absolutely.
Okay, I have another question.
Okay.
My child, okay, hang on a second. I had to write them down so I didn't forget. Pure pressure.
That's okay.
How does a parent teach their child to not be a follower but a leader?
Right. You know, in school there are so many different types of groups. You know, the cool kids and the jocks and the goths and the gangsters and all of that. We just really need to teach our kids and society as a whole that you don't want to associate themselves with a group, with just one group, you know. A lot of teenagers have a difficult time interacting. It's an awkward age. It's a very awkward age. And you don't want them pretending because being fake is exhausting. So you just want to kind of talk to them and say, you know, who do you think, what kind of group would you like to hang out? What do you think of as a, who's a friend? What do you consider a friend? What's the definition of a friend? And what are the qualities that you're looking for in a person to hang out with? And let them, you know, let them kind of talk it out and make sure that they understand that people that post stuff about them on Facebook and all these other social media sites, they're not their friends. Anybody that can post something derogatory about somebody else, whether it was kidding, teasing, or what have you, they're not their friends, and kids need to learn that. And I want parents to know that if you retaliate on kids that are posting stuff about your children, you can face consequences, including jail time.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
Be very careful in fighting your kids' battles. You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. And on that note, Susan Ortega, do you have any more questions, comments, or concerns for Michelle? Because, we appreciate all the callers at any time. And on that note, if you want to get a piece of this, you want to chime in on the show, the guest calling number is 516-387-1991. Feel free to do that. So, Susan, we don't want to make this a Susan Ortega show with Michelle Spacanos. This is a Book Talk Radio. But, let's keep it real and keep it moving. You got any more questions for Michelle, comments or concerns, dear?
Yes, I have another one here. If you suspect that maybe your child is gay, how do you support that issue there or for your child? I mean, I'm not saying it's an issue, but, you know.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Sexual orientation, you know, it's really hard for kids because when they're going through the teenage years, a lot of times they think if they, you know, are attracted to, if a boy thinks he's attracted to another boy, he automatically thinks he's gay. And so, you know, as a parent, we have to support our kids' sexual orientation, and it may hurt, it may be a surprise, it may be something totally out of the blue. We have to support our kids no matter what.
Okay.
No matter what.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Parents are, a
absolutely.
Lot of times are in denial, you know, and they think that their kids are too young to know their sexual orientation, or they just, you know, simply don't want to believe that they could have a gay child. And parents think that if they act like it's not possible, then it won't be possible. And that is so untrue. So I just have to say, talk about it. And for those teenagers out there that are unsure if they're gay or straight, or and they don't feel like they can talk to their parents, then they need to find someone to talk to, whether it's a school counselor, a pastor, even, you know, their parents' best friend, you know, best friend. If they feel more comfortable talking, they need to talk to somebody.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, Susan from Ortega from Longmont, Colorado. So, Michelle, since we're on this subject matter, let's plug all your information here. Let's talk about all your books. Come down the line. Shoot them all down the line. Tell everybody where you can get them. You know, all that. So shoot for that. Let's go.
Okay. I've got the 411 on life skills, the 411 on step parenting, 411 on surviving teenhood, ACE your life, life management skills made easy. I have teen success, it's all about you, your choices, your life. I have parenting plan, preparation is key. Building leadership through self-insight, taking self-actions that matter. Parenting with an Edge, a pocket guide to raise strong and confident kids. And I also have two children's books. One is Aaron's Special Family. Every family is different, and that's okay. And the other one is called Aaron's Bug. What special bug are you? And all of my books can be purchased through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any online book retailer. They can also be purchased from my website, and my website is my411books.com.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, get out there and get those books because, yeah, it's all about benefiting you and yours. And I've got the books. I know several people that I know has got the books, and some amazing results are happening. So, Michelle, on that note, let's delve into your book a little bit deeper. How does one deal with suicide? You know, I had a friend of mine a long time ago growing up. Blah, blah, blah. I look like the perfect guy, perfect relationship, marriage, business, all that, and suddenly he hung himself. So, A, first of all, how does one deal with the topic of suicide to maybe prevent that? Or is there some signs that you can see in advance to prevent that? And or once that has happened, how can you deal with that?
Okay. Well, again, like I was saying before, you know, a lot of times teenagers, they just think that it's not forever, you know, and it just drives, it really just kills me because I think, you know, it is forever, you know, and so we got to watch for the signs. Now, the reasons, I'll go into the reasons first. There are a lot of reasons, you know, that kids will commit suicide or young adults. It's any kind of major disappointment, stress, rejection, failure, self-doubt, financial uncertainty, a loss, you know, a lot of times they break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend and they think that, oh, my God, my life is over. Failing grades, family turmoil, like a divorce or a new family with step-parents and new siblings, or they move to a new community. So as parents and caregivers, the signs and symptoms that we need to be watching for is things like a significant loss or a gain in appetite. Or when they withdraw from family, friends, or regular activities, watch their sleep patterns. If they have a difficulty in falling asleep or they want to sleep all day long. Now, don't mistake that for just teenagers. Teenagers do like to sleep. They need their sleep because they're growing and they're in a really difficult time of their life. But you're looking for those, you know, they might have rebellious behavior. They might be aggressive or destructive. They might run away. They might go from, you know, combing their hair every day and making sure their clothes are clean and pressed to not combing their hair and just, you know, throwing their clothes on the floor and grabbing whatever's there and putting it on to get out the door. Any kind of extreme personality changes, any alcohol, drug, or substance abuse. They also, one of the other things you want to watch for is they might start giving away their most prized possession. You really want to watch that. Or they might start saying, you don't have to worry about me much longer. Or nothing matters. It's no use. You know, I'm a failure. You just, if they become too happy and joyful too quickly after being, you know, deeply depressed, or if they have a previous attempt of suicide, committing suicide, you know, a lot of time the suicide of their parent or another close family member could lead to thoughts of suicide with a teenager. So we really want to watch our kids. Now, as far as what you can do, if you hear anybody say, I want to kill myself, or I hope I don't wake up in the morning, always take that seriously. You know, it's not a joke. And a lot of times people will feel really uncomfortable about taking action, but you have to. You have to, because it's a cry for help. You know, bringing up the question of suicide and discussing it without showing shock or any kind of disapproval, it's one of the most helpful things that you can do. It shows, you know, that you take them seriously and that you're going to respond to their need for help. So never assume, you know, that they're kidding. And don't think you can't stop them, because you can. They just need help.
Highly, highly interesting. I understand that. But, Michelle, let's take that to the extremes. And so what happens if you get the cry wolf syndrome? Because I've seen that in my life, too, with other people and teams and things. What if they continue to do that and you show them attention and they don't, you know, they don't kill themselves, and it's just another way of acting out to get attention? Have you experienced that? You got any information on that? How can we stop the cry wolf, I'm going to kill myself because I want to, or because blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, chime in on that and let us
right.
know.
Yeah, at that point, if they keep, you know, crying wolf, per se, you do want to seek professional help, either from their family physician or a mental health professional. You know, there is appropriate treatment. There are medications. There is counseling that can be done. There's a lot of different things to stop that child from crying wolf, because they're crying wolf for a reason. It's not either it's just for attention, and so maybe as a parent you might want to step back and go, okay, wait a minute, spending quality time with my kid? Am I listening to my kid? Or am I just blowing them off so that they're doing, and it's not just with suicide. I mean, it's just general behavior, period. You know, kids are going to act out because, you know what? That attention is better than no attention at all. So we need to start talking to our kids and spending quality time with our kids and saying, hey, how was your day? Because you know what? Even though teenagers act like they don't want to talk to you and they don't want to hear you, teenagers want to be heard, and we need to give them that chance. We need to include them and give them that chance.
Absolutely, because a family that plays together usually stays together, guaranteed.
Absolutely.
And so with that said, and with that being said, you know, I've been checking out the book here, and, I mean, it's just amazing, Chapter 15, you know, Chapter 9, Dating and Dating Abuse. I mean, there's all kinds of useful and helpful tips and benefits in here for people that are growing up, people that are already grown up. I mean, you know, it's just an amazing book, and Michelle, it's only $14.95 in certain places. And so let's get into that just a little bit deeper. I saw a chapter in there about shoplifting. Are these kids, you know, have they lost their mind? Is it peer pressure? Are they kleptos? What can one do to stop that in the first place? And secondly, if it does happen, how can we deter that from happening again? And, you know, all these things, you know, enlighten us just a little bit about the teenage shoplifting thing.
Okay. Well, again, it's a cry for help, and a lot of times it could be, you know, peer pressure. A lot of kids have poor impulse control, you know, and they have that need for instant gratification. They have a lack of family closeness, and they have feelings of neglect. So, you know, a lot of times that stolen object, it might serve as a substitute for love. You know, a lot of times kids shoplift just for the thrill of it, or the thought of getting away with it. Abuse comes into play, as well as your alcohol and any kind of other substance abuse. They crave to have what others have, but maybe they can't afford it. They want to keep up with the latest styles. So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of it is based on attention-seeking behaviors. But if your kid is caught stealing, the first thing to do is to remain calm. You know, they've got to become aware that there are consequences. And you don't want to show your anger. You don't want to humiliate them, because that is our first response, is we really just want to ream them out right then and there. You know, but try and find out the reason why. What's going on? Again, we're back to, you know, talking to our kids. And you got to make sure that as much as you don't want to see them, you know, have to go to jail or anything, a lot of times, depending on the state, they're fairly lenient on first-time offenders. So, you know, you and the store and the judge got to make your teen aware that the consequences will increase with each offense. So you want to find out what's going on. Again, there is a disease called kleptomania, and adults and teens both can suffer from this disease, and it's an addiction to stealing things. And there could be no real reason why they do it, but you must seek professional help to treat this mental health disorder.
I understand. For sure. And, yeah, we're talking about the 411 on surviving teenhood, essential tips for parents, by Michelle Spakanos. She's an RN, BSN, got it all going on, written 10 books, and she definitely knows what she's talking about. She's trying to help people, benefit people, so they won't make those aha moments turn into those oops moments and get worse before it gets better. So, yeah, let's get into that just a little bit deeper. For an example, a hypothetical question. As a parent, you know, we got these kids growing up. There comes a time to talk about the birds and the bees and the things. So how does one go about doing that, Michelle? Is there a right time and right place? What do you suggest? What do you think? What's your voice speaking to you on how to basically pull your teen aside or whatever you got to do to let them know, okay, this is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, tell us
right.
about that one.
Well, you know, I have a chapter about growth and development, and it kind of helps to, you know, tell the girls, you know, well, during the ages of, say, 12 and 18, you know, certain things are going to happen as far as your, you know, your breasts are going to start growing and different hair in different places, those kind of great things. Of course, the menstrual periods, those kind of things. And then, there's physical changes with boys, too. You know, they're going to notice their private parts beginning to grow and lengthen and hair, and their voices are going to change and stuff like that. So, you know, once you get through the growth and development pieces of it, you kind of have to address their emotional aspects, you know. You got to look at how do they feel about themselves. You know, do they like themselves? Do they like the way they look? Because a lot of times you have teenagers who they're starting to get, you know, interested in the opposite sex, and they get the moodiness, and then they start worrying about how do they look. Of course, then we have the acne that pops up, and they go, oh, my God, I have a pimple, and nobody can see me because I look horrible. And, you know, we need to work on our kids' self-esteem and self-confidence, and not so much of how we look on the outside, but how we feel and look on the inside. We want to make sure that the kids understand that, you know, there are consequences for when you talk about having sex. You know, a lot of times, a lot of parents today are starting very early with small children and talking about their body parts in words that the kids can understand, you know. So you do with the little kids, you know, and then you get with the teenagers, and then you kind of got to get real and make it real and say, this is what this part is, and this is what this part is, and, you know. But it's all in how comfortable you are. And as a parent, if you are not comfortable addressing the discussion of sex and STDs and everything that can happen to these teenagers, then please find someone that is comfortable doing it. You know, we can't stick our head in the sand and think, you know, if I don't talk about it, it'll go away. No, our kids will start learning from other kids in school, start learning from the internet, and they'll start learning from books. So let's, you know, take the reins here and let's teach our kids the right way and teach them not just the dangers, but, you know, because sex is, it doesn't always have to be a danger, but there has to be a reason. They need to know that it's not just something you do. Let's talk about the reason behind it. There's supposed to be love behind it. There's supposed to, you know, not pressure, not because everybody else is doing it. You know, we want to talk about the reason why people do that and instill in them great family values so that they won't do that.
For sure, for sure. That's keeping it real. And speaking of keeping it real, in your book, The 411 on Surviving Teenhood, Essential Tips for Parents, Teenage Temptations, Teachable Moments, and much, much more, I saw in Chapter 8 there's an interesting, highly interesting chapter about self-mutilation and injury. Why do teenagers hurt themselves, do things of that nature? Is it an acting out process? Have they lost their mind? Attention deficit disorder, trying to get attention? Yeah, enlighten us on that area. Why do they do that, first of all?
Right. A lot of teens have low self-esteem, difficulty controlling impulses, high anxiety, stress. Why do they do it? A lot of different reasons. Depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, to release tension, to relieve feelings of emptiness. They do it to punish themselves. Anger, to stop bad thoughts. They want to get attention, you know. And a lot of times, these kids are self-mutilating because it gives them a euphoric feeling. They feel they got a great feeling of well-being and happiness and excitement and joy. But unfortunately, after that happens, that kind of comes down as a big crash, you know. So you want to actually look for the signs. If you think your child is cutting or pulling hair, other things that they do are punching, head banging, bruising themselves, burning themselves, branding themselves, or breaking their bones, you want to, you know, if your kid is regularly locking themselves away for long periods in their room or their bathroom, talk to them. Look at their arms. If they're constantly wearing long sleeve shirts and it's 100 degrees outside, there's a reason, and we need to find out why. Okay? If you find sharp objects hidden in their room or in just really weird places where they shouldn't be, if your kid has a history of an eating disorder, or you notice different injuries, or, you know, evidence, you've really got to look for the evidence. But the biggest evidence of all is, like I said, them wearing long sleeve shirts and it's 100 degrees outside. Why are they wearing a long sleeve shirt? You know, there's got to be a reason for it. It's serious, it's dangerous, and you must get your child help.
Guaranteed. And so, yeah, we're talking 411 on Surviving Teenhood by Michelle Fakanos. Let's get into cell phones. I mean, you know, you see these kids all the time. They're just texting and talking and bone. Come on now. Let's get real. What is, in your expert opinion, should be, quality phone time? Should you take it away from them? How do you manage that stuff? Because, I mean, it's just a constant on the phone.
You know, teens become addicted to cell phones to boost their moods. And they feel a constant pressure to remain connected and reachable around the clock. And, you know, when they're not in contact with their friends or the outside world, they can actually become pretty restless and agitated. What I did in this book is I put a cell phone contract in the back of this book. And basically what it says is, I will stick to the usage allowed with our cell phone plan, and I will not go over the limits of usage. My cell phone must be turned off at, and you insert a time there, each night. It's my responsibility to recharge the cell phone. I will not post on things on social media. I won't go into to chat rooms and give my number out. You know, I won't answer calls that I don't recognize. And there's several other things here. I know having the use of a cell phone is a privilege. And then at the very bottom, the parent signs it and the teen signs it and a date. And this kind of goes along with what we were talking to Susan about earlier, to make sure that, you know, if you sign this contract, okay, and the kid signs the contract with you, and they break this contract, you know, kids need to learn about contracts, because later in life you're going to have contracts, whether it's with your job or with your home or business, they're going to have contracts, and we all need to learn to honor contracts. So if they break that, then there has to be some type of discipline through breaking that contract.
I understand. I understand clearly. And thank you for that wealth of knowledge. And so, Michelle, we didn't get a whole lot of interview time today because I had some callers calling in, and I appreciate all the callers in every day and every way, because that's what makes our show. That's what makes our show real and keeping it real. And so on that note, dear, plug all your information again. Talk about all your books. I know you do counseling as well. You know, just patch everything that you got through so people can get through to you, in other words.
Okay, will do. Well, my books are at my411books.com. I have 10 books. I have number 11 coming out next month, and it's called The 411 on Reinventing You. And it's a book for women who probably the ages of 40 and above decide a new career just to reinvent themselves. So it's kind of helped to do that. Again, my website is my411books.com. My other website is called takeactionwithmichelle.com, and I offer I'm a life transformation specialist. I offer personal coaching and speaking and training. My one-on-one coaching is for individuals, for either for parents, for teens, for small businesses. I can talk about different content from my books. And, you know, it's just a way to help people grow forward in their purpose and their vision for their life, because sometimes you just need a little bit of help. Again, that website is takeactionwithmichelle.com.
Amazing, amazing. So let's all take action with Michelle. Because Michelle's got it going on. She knows what she's saying. She knows what she's talking about. She's an expert in the field. She's not only an expert in the field, I mean, she's a keeping it real nurse and all that. So her message is quite clear, to benefit others and help them in every day and every way. And so, Michelle, we're going to have another couple interviews with you coming up, because you're a highly, highly interesting person, because I don't have anybody on my show that's not highly interesting as well as knowledgeable. That's just Lawrence J. King. He's keeping it real on Book Talk Radio, your host in the house today at Book Talk Radio. And so, Michelle, let's sum this up just a little bit. The 411 on surviving teenage, teenhood life years, in your opinion and in your knowledge and expertise, what would you say would be the most beneficial portion or section or chapter or chapters in the 411 on surviving teenhood?
Well, I think they're all very important. The biggest thing that I would love for people to get out of it, I wrote all of the bullet points in the conclusion, and just to give a couple of those, the first one is be their parent, their moral compass, their guide, not their friend. Teenagers will emulate those they know best. I want you to give your kids unconditional love, because they do love you. Monitor your televisions, computers, cell phones, and all those communication devices, and don't let those kids get hooked. And just make sure, you know, kids want a chance to be trusted. Give them that chance, please. The teenagers, they need their homes to be a refuge, a very safe haven. And make sure, keep your medicine cabinet locked. Unlocked medicine cabinets are an open invitation for teens and their friends to abuse prescription drugs. So I want you to also understand, there is no shame in accepting professional help for yourself or for your children.
True words were never spoken. And on that note, the dog is barking, which means it must be dinner time somewhere in USA. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 2016 in America. Play with your kids, stay with your kids, watch your kids, make sure your kids ain't into no dumb shit, and that's keeping it real. And I'm pretty sure Michelle's going to say the same thing in a different way, but in every way, she's going to try to benefit you as a parent as well as your teenagers. Well, because we want to see them growing up. We want to see them keep on keeping on. And so, Michelle, on that note, let's just plug your books one more time, everything you got there.
Okay. The 411 on life skills, the 411 on step parenting, the 411 on surviving teenhood, ACE, your life, teen success, it's all about you, your choices, your life, parenting plan, preparation is key, building leadership through self-insight, taking self-actions that matter, and Parenting with an Edge, a pocket guide to raise strong and confident kids, as well as my two kids' books, Aaron Bug and Aaron's Special Family.
Amazing, amazing, and amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get out there and get the copies of these books because they're going to benefit your life in every day and in every way. And on that note, Michelle, we're going to have a series of interviews with you coming up. So everybody stay tuned and do chime in next time when we're back on the air. This is Lawrence J. King in the house, the host of Book Talk Radio. Michelle, it's dinner time somewhere in USA. So with that said, I'll let you go, dear.
All right. Have a nice night. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with me today, and we'll talk again real soon. Thank you. Good night, Florida. Good night, USA.